Today, as we continue with our lessons from the book of Exodus, we're going to read in chapter 15, the 15th chapter of the book of Exodus, and our lesson today has to do with the song that was sung at the Red Sea, commonly referred to as the Song of Moses. Before we read the beautiful song, let us bow for prayer. Our Father, we again acknowledge Thee, coming to Thee in the blessed name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank Thee that we can come to Thee at all times and under all circumstances, spreading our petitions before Thee and giving Thee thanks for all Thy blessings. Be pleased to take our thanks now for every blessing we have received from Thy bountiful hand. Look down in mercy upon all Thy children, especially bless today those who at this very moment are listening to this message. May it prove to be edifying to them, and may it bring blessing to every listening ear. We ask it in the Savior's name. Amen. And now chapter 15 of the book of Exodus. Remember, this is the first recorded song in the Bible, and while we do not know its music, we can enter in some measure into an appreciation of its message. And I think we must all agree that the message of a song is more important than its music. You may have the very finest of music and the very best of musicians, and yet, if they do not convey a message in the song that they sing, it is useless. So here we are more concerned with the message of this song than we are with its music. Remember, when the children of Israel were in Egypt, they didn't sing there. We saw in the opening chapters of the book of Exodus that these people were sighing. They were a bunch of sighing slaves, crying unto the Lord, crying for deliverance from the lash of the taskmaster. They couldn't sing their songs when they were in bondage. But now, on the redemption side of the Red Sea, they are found singing. And they sang because the Lord delivered them with a great triumph. Let us read then something concerning the time and the theme of this beautiful song. Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song, and he is become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare him an habitation. My father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a man of war, the Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his host have he cast into the sea. His chosen captains also are drowned in the Red Sea. The depth have covered them. They sank into the bottom as a stone. Thy right hand, O Lord, is become glorious in power. Thy right hand, O Lord, hath dashed in pieces the enemy. And in the greatness of thine excellency, thou hast overthrown them that rose up against thee. Thou sentest forth thy wrath, which consumed them as stubble, and with the blast of thy nostrils the waters were gathered together. The flood stood upright as an heap, and the depth was congealed in the heart of the sea. The enemy said, I will pursue, I will overtake, I will divide the spoil. My lust shall be satisfied upon them. I will draw my sword, my hand shall destroy them. Thou didst blow with thy wind. The sea covered them, they sank as lead in the mighty waters. Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? Thou stretchest out thy right hand, the earth swallowed them. Thou in thy mercy hast led forth the people which thou hast redeemed. Thou hast guided them in thy strength unto thy holy habitation. The people shall hear and be afraid. Sorrow shall take hold on the inhabitants of Palestina. Then the dukes of Edom shall be amazed, the mighty men of Moab. Trembling shall take hold upon them. All the inhabitants of Canaan shall melt away. Fear and dread shall fall upon them. By the greatness of thine arm, they shall be as still as a stone, till thy people pass over, O Lord, till the people pass over which thou hast purchased. Thou shalt bring them in, and plant them in the mountain of thine inheritance, in the place, O Lord, which thou hast made for thee to dwell in the sanctuary, O Lord, which thy hands have established. The Lord shall reign for ever and ever. For the horse of Pharaoh went in with his chariots and with his horsemen into the sea, and the Lord brought again the waters of the sea upon them, but the children of Israel went on dry land in the midst of the sea. I'm sure the Lord will bless to us the reading of that wonderful song from Exodus chapter 5. Now, I would suggest that the first thing we take note of here is the time to sing the song, before that we look at the theme of the song. Now, in the opening verse, it said, when they sang it, it said, then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song. And the question is, when? Not when they were down in Egypt. As I have indicated, they couldn't sing there. They were sighing there. But they sang when they stood in safety on redemption ground, when once they were brought over from the land of bondage and had their feet planted safe on the redemption side of the Red Sea. They were delivered from Pharaoh's hand and delivered out of Pharaoh's land. On the night of the Passover, they were secured from the doom of Egypt, but at the Red Sea they were saved from the power of Egypt. And when they had experienced something of the mighty redemptive power of God, it was then that they burst out into song, and they began to sing this song called the Song of Moses. Again, they sang this song when they saw the supremacy of God in overthrowing their enemies. Some people have had a difficulty in understanding the expressions of this beautiful song. They think that the children of Israel were vindictive because that they saw their enemies overthrown and they rejoiced over that. No, my friend, they rejoiced when they saw the power of God. They rejoiced when they saw that their God was supreme, and Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, who had defied God, was overthrown. I might say this, that God in his power opened up the Red Sea and delivered his people Israel out from the land of Egypt. When the Lord Jesus Christ returns to this earth to redeem again the remnant of that great nation, his feet shall stand on the Mount of Olives, and it won't be the sea that will be divided, it will be the mountain that will be divided, the Mount of Olives. And a valley of escape shall be provided for that remnant, into which they shall flee and be secured. See, the Lord waits his time, but when he moves with power. At the cross of Calvary, the Lord Jesus Christ paid the ransom price. He paid for our redemption, but our redemption hasn't yet been fully manifested. We wait for the full manifestation of redemption, even the redemption of the body. And the Lord will one day manifest His great power when He shall raise from the dead those that are His. And those that are alive and remain shall be changed and shall be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. Remember, redemption shall be brought to finality. So they sang when they stood in safety on the redemption ground. They sang when they saw the supremacy of God in overthrowing their enemies. They beheld the work of the Lord with their eyes. They breathed their worship to the Lord with their spirits. They believed the word of the Lord with their hearts. And let me say this to every listener today. If we have eyes to behold the work of the Lord, if we have the spirits able to breathe out in worship to the Lord, if we have hearts ready to believe the word of the Lord, there's nothing to prevent you from bursting out into song and singing the praises of the Lord. For we have known redemption far greater than what the children of Israel experienced when they were delivered from the land of Egypt. We were held in greater bondage by a greater enemy. Satan perhaps held you in bondage for many years, but when you exercised faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, you experienced a deliverance from the bondage of sin, and now you can sing His praises. Now again, there is the theme of the song. They not only sang unto the Lord, but they sang about the Lord. That to me is very significant, for it distinctly says, then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song. Listen now to some of the words. They sang unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord. In verse 2, the Lord is my strength, and so on. See, the whole thing here is this. They were singing not only to the Lord, but they were singing about the Lord. You know, when you come to the New Testament, we are told that we are to be making melody in our heart unto the Lord. You know, it's a strange thing. If you go down through this particular song in Exodus 15, you will discover this, that the Lord is mentioned quite a number of times. Take note of the number of times the Lord is mentioned. Also take note of the these and the thous and the thys in this song. Notice the absence of me, my, and mine. Now, when singing about the truth of salvation, all the glory must be given unto the Lord. I might say this, that some of the so-called songs that are sung today, one wonders at times if they can be classified as spiritual songs. There seems to be a great tendency to sing about oneself, and to sing about one's experience, and to sing about my love for the Lord, etc., etc. But you see, when you come to this particular song, everything here is in celebration of the Lord. It's all about the Lord and what the Lord has done. It was then a song of celebration. For instance, it says, the Lord is my strength. My song and my salvation. Here is the divine answer to the challenge that came from Pharaoh. You remember when Moses went into Pharaoh and says, the Lord says, let my people go. Pharaoh says, who is the Lord? Here is the answer to Pharaoh's question. The Lord is my strength, my song, and He has become my salvation. See, my friend, when a person knows something about the salvation that is provided by God, then we can sing concerning his salvation. I am sure that some of the old hymn writers understood this great truth and grasped, as it were, the sentiment of this song of Moses when they wrote such words as these: "On Christ salvation rests secure, the rock of ages must endure, nor can that faith be overthrown which rests upon the living stone. No other hope shall intervene, to him we look, on him we lean. Other foundations we disown, but build on Christ, the living stone. But most adore his precious name, his glory and his grace proclaim. For us, the lost, condemned, undone, he gave himself, the living stone." These were sentiments expressed by men who had entered into the real meaning of singing unto the Lord. You see, we ought not to be singing all the time about what we think and our experiences. We're singing then about the Lord. It was a song of celebration. The divine answer to Pharaoh's challenge, "Who is the Lord?" Why, of course, he's our strength. He's our song. He has become our salvation. Here is the divine answer to Israel's sigh. They were sighing when they were down in Egypt, sighing under their bondage, crying to the Lord to help them. But now on the redemption side of the Red Sea, they're able to sing the song of Moses. Ah, my friend, it's a wonderful thing when one is able to burst out into song and praise the Lord. This is the divine answer to Israel's bondage: salvation from the Lord. They were unable to effect their own deliverance. They could not effect their own redemption. They were held as slaves by a power greater than themselves. They couldn't liberate themselves, but the Lord has done it for them. He has done it in his own way, step by step. Oh, at times they found it difficult to understand what was happening. But now, since they're on the redemption side of the Red Sea, and since they have seen their enemies overthrown, and God's power has been manifested, why, they're able to celebrate, able to celebrate what the Lord has done. Some folk find it very difficult to understand why it was when the Lord Jesus Christ came to this earth that he was despised and rejected. Some folk cannot understand why Pilate had him condemned, why he was taken out and crucified on Calvary's cross. And they look upon that as a great tragedy. Now, in a sense it was, but I want to remind you, when you look back on it now and understand God's plan, Calvary was a triumph. It was when Christ went into death, he destroyed him with the power of death, and in rising was able to deliver them who through fear of death were all the lifetime subject unto bondage. So that Calvary was no tragedy. Calvary was a great triumph. So here was a song of celebration, and when we look back on Calvary, we remember that it also was a great celebration. We can celebrate what took place at Calvary, for it was a triumph. But now, we also notice here that they're singing about what the Lord will do. It was a song of anticipation. See what they're saying here: "Thou shalt bring them in, and plant them in the mountain of thine inheritance." So not only did God manifest his power in stretching forth his hand upon their enemies and delivering them from the bondage of Egypt and bringing them over the Red Sea with mighty power, but now in the song they're singing in anticipation. The promise to be accepted. If the Lord promises them a land, they can rest upon that promise. God will surely bring them in. Oh, I admit it was 40 years after that before that they passed over the river Jordan and went in to take possession of the promised land. But God promised it. And remember this, they have not yet as a nation occupied all the land that God promised to them. I hope that all my listeners today realize this, that the day will come when God will establish that nation back in the land. When they repent and are brought back into a true relationship with their God, then God will keep His promise that He made to Abraham, and He will establish Abraham's seed in the land of promise. They can rest assured of that. But you and I at the present time can rest assured of something else. We can praise God for what He's done at Calvary. We can also sing in anticipation. Remember this, the Lord is coming again. And when the Lord comes again, we're going up to meet Him in the air. Again, I quote to you the words of an old hymn writer when he said, "Our Lord is now rejected and by the world disowned, by the many still neglected and by the few enthroned. But soon He'll come in glory, the hour is drawing nigh, for the crowning day is coming, by and by. The heavens shall glow with splendor, brighter far than they, the saints shall shine in glory as Christ shall them array. The beauty of the Savior shall dazzle every eye in the crowning day that's coming, by and by." Oh, my friend, not only can we sing of something that has been accomplished, we not only sing songs of celebration, telling of what the Lord has done, we can sing songs of anticipation, what the Lord will do. There's the promise of what lies before us. Then this song of Moses had to do with the possession to be inherited. That which is planted becomes part of the inheritance, and they're going on to take possession of their possessions. The things that God has promised them, they'll go in and possess. And you know, according to the New Testament, at the present time, Christians have been blessed with every kind of spiritual blessing in Christ in the heavenlies. And even now, we are able to enjoy the spiritual blessings. And we're looking forward to a day when not only shall we have the blessings, we'll have the Blesser Himself, and we'll be with Him, and be like Him, and we shall see Him as He is. But then there's something else. There's the presence to be enjoyed. It's the presence of the Lord in His sanctuary. When the children of Israel go ahead in the wilderness, almost the first thing they're going to do is build Him a sanctuary. Even at the beginning of the song, "The Lord is my strength and song, and He has become my salvation, He is my God, and I will prepare Him an habitation." When you come to chapter 25, you'll discover that God reciprocates that idea, and God gives directions as to the building of the sanctuary, and the presence of the Lord filled that place. Then there is the power to be established. I like the words of verse 18, "The Lord shall reign forever and ever." Now, I wonder how many of you listening to my voice today, perhaps you pray from time to time that prayer, "Our Father which art in heaven," and you come to that place, "Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Do you ever pause to consider, my friend, the day will come when God shall put forth His hand in mighty power, and God shall establish His Son in righteousness. He shall sit upon the throne of David. He shall reign over the house of Jacob. Of His kingdom there shall be no end. No one will take it from Him. The Lord shall reign forever and forever. And so, therefore, in this song, there is anticipation of what the Lord will do. And you know a wonderful thing about this song? When the men have completed singing the song, the women folks, under the guidance of Miriam, take up the song, as it were, or the chorus, and they echo and re-echo the sentiments of this beautiful song. Then when you come to the book of Revelation, chapter 15, again there you have that wonderful song, and it's being sung in heaven above. I suggest to you there are a number of songs that you can study in the Bible, and they're all very interesting. But here is one which is the first song. It lays the foundation for all spiritual singing. It's a song to be sung unto the Lord, and it's a song about the Lord.